Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill Cameron working from home. We should have a Bill for some or all of the show. Looking forward to testing the connection. I'm on the board today. Drew has had a sudden scheduling conflict, and so I'm stepping in and pushing the buttons. We've got our good buddy Jason Caldwell in the house as well, and he's covering He's covering Auburn as we get ready for the start of the 2025 season. Auburn and Baylor squaring off in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from Friday. Auburn and Baylor kicking off in Waco. You can catch that, of course, on Wings 94.3. We had Andy Burcham on yesterday in the first hour, and Andy mentioned that Tiger Talk getting started on Monday. The first episode, also the first day of classes for Auburn University in the fall term, and then 1 week later, it's game week. I mean, it's happening.
And a quick game week.
A really quick game week.
Yes, with a Friday, so you know they'll be leaving on a Thursday, and so you start talking about a very short, condensed game week that week.
And I mentioned to Coach Freeze, or I asked Coach Freeze about how starting the season, not just on the road, but on the road on a Friday night, maybe changes how he approaches the preseason. I mean, and I think it's fair to wonder about if the intensity or the urgency is any different because Auburn is facing, it's not a paycheck game. It's not an opponent that's a 7-touchdown underdog. You know, this is a competitive Big 12 team with championship aspirations this year that Auburn's facing on the road. And I think that coupled with the fact that it's on a Friday night, I would think that it's impossible to know, right? Like, because we're imagining what the preseason would have been if Auburn had opened against a totally overmatched opponent at home, an FCS team or a low mid-major. But I would imagine, I mean, there are multiple reasons to think this team, is as sharp as they've seemed under Hugh Freeze. Right, and as talented as they've been for a couple of years, I think one of the reasons they need to be as sharp as ever, considering where they, considering the opening, the stakes of the first few weeks of the season, and especially that opener against Baylor. What would you say to that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you look at this. It's really interesting that we've gotten a chance to talk to coaches, two of the last 3 days, and so kind of get a taste of them early on too, and. I don't know. People have asked me, like, what do you think this team is going to be like? And I think it's, again, I think it's a more talented team. I think there's a little more depth on this team. And I think it's a team that has a chance to go out and compete and win games. Now, the next step is going to do it. And I had a couple of folks going, hey, they're tired of the talk. I'm like, well, listen, there's nothing else we can do. They can't play until they play. So this is all we can do right now is talk about the team as they get ready for a season. But, yeah, Baylor is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a test on the road, and we're just talking about it outside. But when you think about this one, it's almost a completely different schedule than last year. Last year, you go, well, you need to get off to a great start because you have all these home games, and then it didn't happen, and you knew the season was in peril because of that. This one's a much different where if you get off to a pretty good start this year because you've got 3 road games out of your first 5, then you go, okay, now you've set yourself up for some success because even though you have Alabama and Georgia, you have them at home, the back end is a little bit more home friendly when you start talking about the back end of the schedule. So interesting to see a matchup like this against a Baylor team that we don't know as much about as well.
We're going to effort Bill Cameron. We're going to see if we can find a way to get connected with Bill at some point during the show. But in the meantime, we've got Jason here on the and Jason, it's been, you know, I thought that getting to talk to the offensive assistants was and thank you, Jacob, for coming in and pushing a button for me. And you know what? And since you're here anyway, at some point before the start of the Auburn High season, we need to have a briefing with our good buddy Jacob Goins from On the Line about a really exciting season of Auburn High School football.
Yeah, for sure. Would love to. Can Bill hear us now? Or are we good to go?
Gotcha.
I'm good. There's Bill Cameron. All right. So it seems like we've ironed out those details. There's a button on the other screen that I rarely interact with. At some point before the start of the season, because that's rapidly approaching too. Is it game week next week?
Yeah, next wow. Friday. Yeah, we'll be on the air Friday night over on Wings 94.3. Next Friday the 22nd against the Booker Tornadoes.
And is everybody's holding their breath that they get turf down on the field in time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been told we're good to go. There was a pretty big hang-up on getting it, and yes. It was nobody's fault, just the stuff that's going on right now.
Correct.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, they should be all signs are pointing to Auburn will be good to go next Friday. Duck Sanford Stadium, yep, the Tigers hosting the Booker Tornadoes on the 22nd. So, yeah, we're right around the corner.
And then the game week for Auburn University, you guys are playing on a Thursday night. And
correct.
Then Auburn, which saves us a little bit of trouble on Wings 94.3. As far as like Auburn High School and Auburn University not playing at the same time, but it's also the Thursday night game is, I mean, that's a big one too before Auburn Auburn football, Auburn University football takes over on that Friday night.
Well, it's funny because we open up next week on Friday the 22nd, and then we actually play in Auburn High School. That is two Thursday night games back to back. We go to Vestavia Hills on a Thursday night, and then we go to Opelika on a Thursday night for the statewide game of the week. That is the 100th meeting between Auburn High School and Opelika High, so we're excited for that too.
We will track you down, and we'll go into more detail about Auburn High School football at some point between now and the start of the season. Thank you for getting the thing sorted out with Bill Cameron. That's Jacob Goins from On the Line, who does an outstanding job from 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Bill, and we're glad that Bill Cameron can join the show. Jason, we were on campus earlier today for media availability with the defensive assistants, and I thought there were some really interesting things out there. We're going to try to play some of that later on. I got about 10 minutes with Vontrell, who's
he's great.
He's fantastic, and he went into detail about some of his players. Very first thing I wanted to ask DJ Durkin, what's the update on DeMarcus Riddick, and what's sort of the plan if he's limited at all? Turns out we seemingly don't need the second part of that question.
Yeah, he said he's good to go, back and full bore. So I think there's some precautionary stuff he did this time of year. Somebody asked about kind of defensive coaches and said they felt like they were more upbeat than offense. And I was like, it's just natural this time of year when you can plug and play guys on defense during camp, and it doesn't really change a whole lot. But when you do it on offense, which is what they've been doing, and you're let's get the second team in and let's mix this guy in on the offensive line, it's really hard to find any rhythm on offense. There right now, it's just getting – they'll start to narrow things down offensively, and you start to create a little bit of rhythm and a little consistency. Right now in camp, it's hard to do that because you're looking at so many things. We'd heard from the offensive coach the other day going, look, when we start to narrow down a plan, then you can start to kind of find some of those things.
I guess the thing – I mean, and if there's anything that really stood out to you from the from what the coaches said today or what they said Monday, I'd love to hear it. But really, you've had a chance to download all of what those coaches said and what you've seen yourself over these last 2 weeks and what we've heard from the ample opportunity to talk to players these last couple of weeks. Who stands out to you? A couple of players who have really improved their position in your eyes as far as How much they can contribute, how much they're sort of expected to contribute over these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to say improved in my eyes because they're everybody, you have to kind of throw depth charts out there, but there's not really one. Coaches just don't work that way. And so in my eyes, there's been several guys that I think will start on offense, and you kind of start with Omar Mabson. I think he's taken advantage of that as much as anybody has, the opportunity to get those reps in preseason camp, and how much does he factor in? We'll see. I don't know. I still think when push comes to shove, when you go on the road at Baylor, you're going to open up with the veteran guys, and they're going to get looks. But I think Omar has put himself in a position. Bryce Kane, we learned today. We saw him make a few plays at receiver the other day. Learned today that he's in the mix on special teams. He's doing some things.
Not shocking that even if he's not the returner, Bryce could still have a role on special teams.
Yes.
Chad Lunsford talked about the gunners, wanting to upgrade the speed everywhere there, and that's somewhere Bryce, even if he's maybe not necessarily the primary returner, although got mentioned as one of the punt return options.
He did. And you mentioned Eric Singleton and then Malcolm Simmons. Eric Singleton at kick returner along with Rashawn Pleasant. So that's some speed for Auburn if that's your guys. But I think Omar Mabson, Bryce Kane, two guys. Preston Howard's probably been another guy that has probably surprised a little bit more maybe for me. But offense, it's kind of the group we expected because you're not going to rotate a ton of guys on offense. And so defense is where you hear more names because you play so many more guys. And after sitting down and talking to defensive coaches and after watching the practices we've been able to see, you start running down how many defensive guys could legitimately – play as part of a rotation, and it's a big number. I mean, there's a lot of guys involved. I'll point to a couple that, for me, one of them is Dallas Walker. We heard Von Trell again going, look, like he's been good. Him and Jay Hardy are two guys that he kind of singled out a little bit and said, look, those guys, they need to be good for us, and they have been. So Dallas Walker's probably one of my bigger surprises. Xavier Atkins has been really good at linebacker, the LSU transfer. And we got a glimpse of him in the spring, but I think he's been a guy that's been good. Those freshmen have obviously done their thing.
I still wonder how many snaps they're talking about there, especially with a full go DeMarcus Riddick.
Yeah.
Because we keep hearing about juice.
It's not the defensive line where you go, hey, give me 8 to 10 snaps. Linebacker, you're normally going to be more. I could see Bryce Diaz and Elijah Melendez or Xavier Atkins. I can see those guys getting 10 to 15 snaps and then playing special teams. I could see it. I don't know that you're going to go 30, 35, but I could see them getting some snaps like that. And so, and a bunch of guys in the secondary that I think are going to at least be in the mix.
Yeah, hey, Jason, first of all, good to talk to you. Sorry, I haven't been able to see practice the last couple of days, but I wanted to ask about somebody that when I've had the opportunity for the first few practices, a guy that I've been a little surprised to see as much of working with the top group or groups is Jaquez Robinson.
He has been another surprise, no question about it. Veteran guy that started at Alabama, his career there, and then went to Colorado, has been back a couple of years, and he's a longer, bigger body at safety.
Right.
Seen him and in the mix.
Wasn't he thought of as like a Charles Kelly guy?
Yeah, I mean, he came in because there was the connection to Alabama originally, and
Kelly
then Colorado
had
as well.
To Tuscaloosa, right.
Yeah, and so he had a couple of Charles Kelly connections. And
Who is no longer here.
Yeah. He looks more physical in terms of explosiveness. I thought he looked a little sluggish last year. He's worked hard. And so, yeah, you start looking at safety.
Safety's unbelievable.
It's crazy to think about. You go Sylvester Smith and Caleb Harris, you think are your guys. Champ Anthony's there. Which one of those guys kind of shifts to the nickel? Then you go, Kinsley Faustin and then Jaquez Robinson. Paul Thompson, the walk-on from Hoover's a guy that probably is in the mix some there as well. And then you go the two freshmen, Anquan Fagans and Eric Winters. And you have the safety, Seymour from Georgia Tech. The late transfer from Texas A&M. That's a physical big guy.
Oh, yeah, Jacoby Thomas.
That's 7-8 guys. And you look at corner and you go 6 deep, probably at corner with the two true freshmen. I mean, that's 14, 15 players in the secondary that you feel like, man, if we have to go to that guy, you'd be okay.
How surprised will you be to see – I mean, we saw some true freshmen kick down the door last year in the secondary, leapfrog some older players, and then get on the field when opportunity knocked. Not just Jay Crawford.
Well, we saw Kinsley Faustin.
Caleb.
Yeah,
I mean, Caleb Harris a ton last year. Pretty much all season. Is there one of the true freshmen in the secondary where you think this guy is going to be extremely difficult, even considering who else you could say, you know, for this answer? This guy is going to be extremely difficult to keep off the field.
Yeah, Anquan Fagans, because of his playmaking ability and because of his versatility, where he could play nickel, he can play safety. But to me, Anquan Fagans is the guy in the secondary that I look at. If there's a freshman that plays that much this season, I would lean towards him defensively.
I mean, all three of those Baltimore kids, right? It sounds like we're hearing more and more. Woodby's highly impressive. Lunsford shouted out Juice Diaz at the end. And how about that, Bill? I don't know if you saw the quotes there, but
yeah, I did.
That he's and you wrote a story about it,
yeah,
right?
I did, yep.
I mean, he's apparently
a starter on four different special teams.
Yeah,
right.
Juice Diaz as a true freshman, you know, starting all over special teams.
And then you hear DJ Durkin talking about.
Sounds like Jared Smith is on a couple of those.
Jared's playing some special teams,
those
obviously
units as well.
That's the spot where you go, can you find a couple of guys that can mm-hmm. can do that role to keep you from having to play. You know, last year we saw it, and he chose to do it, but like Jarquez Hunter was on kickoff coverage after on offense and doing something. If you can avoid having to play a DeMarcus Riddick and having to play some of these other guys in that situation and can play freshman to where you're limiting some of that, then that's really beneficial for them down the road in a season.
I wonder if you just mentioned Jarquez. Like, I wonder if – and you've got linebackers and defensive backs that can run and hit and cover and tackle – but you have a couple of running backs that could be. I mean, we didn't hear Cobb's name mentioned as a returner, but I mean he's an incredibly dynamic option potentially out there. And then, I mean, if we'll see what kind of role Omar and Alvin have offensively. But I mean traditionally Auburn has used the running backs, scholarship running backs towards the bottom of the depth chart are special
teams
contributors.
Yeah, in some role, and yeah, so we'll see. How much they factor in there, especially with this one, because there's so many guys that are DBs and linebackers that can run.
They've recruited so many different
guys. So you have more of those options than you've had maybe in the past, too.
Yeah, so I thought there was some interesting stuff there. And then, again, like the Vontrell stuff, another player that, you know, it remains to be seen. Like Vontrell said, he's still got a long way to go. But the seemingly Amaris Williams really trending in the right direction all offseason, right, Jason? Like, that's a guy that didn't just flirt with the portal, but actually tried the portal briefly. Auburn convinced him to come back, and since returning from the portal after a really frustrating first year, I thought it was really interesting. Vontrell said he was physically ready to contribute.
Yes.
As a true freshman. It was mental and emotional.
Yeah,
you know what, where he needed to grow, where he needed to mature, and the change in attitude. He seems to think, you know, this is a guy who's gonna look like the really exciting prospect that Auburn landed a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, you're talking about there'll be a ton of rotation up from the defensive line. Keldrick Falk's the one guy you think, well, if you're talking about a guy leads you in snaps from that group, he'll be the guy that you would think would have the most snaps out of that defensive front. How much can you play Keldrick and Amaris at the same time? That's an interesting one to me, because Amaris is so athletic and so quick. You could stand up both of those guys and play them in that role and give you more size and give you some different things. I think there's a lot of possibilities with this defensive line where you start talking about, is it a four-man front? Is it a three-man front? Is it a five-man front? Can you walk up and play Keron Crawford and step him – that's the thing about being versatile and having depth, is that you might be able to – and I talked to a couple of offensive guys. They're like, they are bringing the house at us right now, which leads me to believe that Auburn is going to be really versatile and really aggressive this season because of the speed they have on that side of the ball.
We've got Jason Caldwell from – I always want to say Inside the Auburn Tigers.
It's okay. You can still say it, but Auburn Undercover as well.
That's
yes.
Right, Auburn Undercover. Jason Caldwell joining us as he does the first hour on the show on Wednesdays. Bill Cameron, beaming in from home. We'll check back in with Bill when we come back. Hour number one of The Drive. Stick around.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
At Dixie Overhead Door.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Ooh, little rainstorm outside as I
– a little bit here. It's supposed to have rained all afternoon, and we've had a little bit here or there, but haven't had the deluge that it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a storm there on the outside of Auburn Network HQ. Are things fairly dry on your side of town, Bill?
It's rained off and on two or three times here today, so we need it. I mean, it's been pretty dry here for the last couple of weeks.
Thought some, again, getting to talk with the assistant coaches today, and you can tell tomorrow there's, we're going to get to see practice, and then Friday, traditionally, that second scrimmage is a big deal, Jason. Like, that second scrimmage is for positions where there's maybe one or two players too many, especially for the rotation against Baylor. This scrimmage is going to be an important one in deciding ultimately who's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, this probably helps you determine a little bit about travel roster too, who was in the mix for this one, and you'll after this one you'll start to go, okay, what's our plan look like? But you kind of have an idea of maybe some things you want to do offensively and defensively, and then you go, okay, do they factor in? Do they fit in? Okay, are they valuable enough that they're starting on special teams that they need to travel? So you'll have some of those things where you start to kind of figure out who goes on the road, who doesn't, and then which young guys do you feel like, okay, is this somebody that we feel like can help us right away, or are they close enough that they might be a second-team offensive line guys? You think about a Cale Ellis. That's a guy that you're probably going to take with you because of his not only his future but how good he is right now. But
have the travel roster – rules changed? Is it still the same? Still the same number that you can bring?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed, Bill, unless I've missed it somewhere.
No, right, I think it's the same for the conference. Conferences pretty much decide.
Yes.
Travel rosters.
Okay, so I mean, so it'll still be, but Auburn still has decisions to make. About who to bring and also who's in the game plan for that week against Baylor. Is there something we were saying earlier, like the run game feels like it could be a huge wild card going into Baylor. What the plan looks like.
Yeah.
How many players are involved in that plan? I wonder how much we're going to know, and not to mention like how effective is Auburn's run game. These are all pretty significant mysteries going into that Baylor game.
And I don't know, and I'm fairly certain that there's just no way to know until you get into the season. Now, you know what you got, but you don't know which guy is going to be the guy in crunch time. The thing you can figure out is maybe who do I feel like my best third down back is? That's, to me, maybe a big part of this one is who do we feel like on third down not only gives us a good receiving threat, but also is a guy that can help out, protect the quarterback, do some of those things.
Those guys aren't always the same guy.
They're not always the same guy.
Like the guy that can help you in the passing game and the guy who helps you the most as a protector.
Correct. You need to find a guy that does the best job of doing both, because I always think back to I don't know, Bill, 90, 95, 96 maybe. No, honestly, it probably started more in 94 when Frank Sanders and Thomas Bailey were on the field. You knew, okay, Auburn may throw the football here. But when they substituted, you knew it was almost always going to be a run. Mm-hmm. Now, Willie Gauthier and they end up being guys who end up being really good receivers. But early on,
they were just in the run block.
They're just in there because we're going to run football.
And we've seen situations in the past where, I mean, I keep thinking about the, I think it was the Washington game, when Auburn opened the season, and it was, it felt like they had a plan when the game started. And then after seeing a couple of the running backs get a few drives each.
That's it.
You know, that plan changed, and they had an idea of who needed to have the ball on the last series of the game when it was crunch time.
100%.
And I wonder if that's how things could evolve against Baylor.
Oh, I think it could evolve that way for the first three or four games, yep. Where you go, well, we thought this was going to happen, but this happened. So because of that, here's what we're going to do, or here's the guy we're going to. I'm pretty sure that it'll be more of a hot hand thing. Or if you go, okay, this guy's feeling that we're going to give him the ball.
And my suspicion would be, after talking with Coach Nix on Monday, my suspicion would be that Damari would get the opportunities first against Baylor. But if Jeremiah Cobb and I think especially you watch out for Durrell, because he seems to be getting healthier and healthier after the turf toe, I think if either of those guys really ran with whatever opportunities are also there, you know, maybe it would be tougher to tougher to stick to that plan, depending also on how Damari does. Because there's a ton of confidence that Damari Alston could step in and just be an every down running back.
Yeah, I don't think he's done anything to hurt his opportunity. And you don't make guys starters because they stayed for 4 years and worked really hard. That's not how it happens. But I do think there's some value in a guy that has played more football. And you go, okay, if all things equal, if there's nobody that has just run away with it, then I think you lean to the guys who've done it before.
And sometimes you're the backup because there's a phenomenal player starting. Like sometimes it's not, oh, well, Damari Alston's only started one game in his first 3 years of college football. He must be a replacement-level talent. Like, that's not necessarily how it works. Like, Damari Alston was the backup when players like Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter were on the team, and he was you know, getting his reps. But now he's not just the oldest and most experienced option. He may very well be the best. Like, he might you know, get those opportunities and show that he's a guy who has been able to be a number one.
Yeah.
But there was. You know, it's tough. It's tough to be a number one when there are other, like, it's a singular. It's a singular number.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you look at it. To me, for Damari Alston, is can he protect football? I don't think there's any question that he can run and do some things there. And we've seen him get to the second level and make. Can you do it and not turn the ball over? Because if you put the ball on the ground, they're going to be other options. That's just the way it is. And to me, that's the one thing I look at for him going, okay, can you protect the football? Because Jarquez Hunter did a great job of protecting the football. If he does that, then Damari Alston is going to be involved in this run game because I do think he is a talented guy, runs behind his pads, does things. But, again, I do think it comes down to, okay, can you do that and not put the ball on the ground? And I think if he does that, then – I think he is involved in some level in the way Auburn runs football.
And I would think that the fumbling aspect goes for any running back on the team.
Oh, yeah, it's everybody. But right? we've seen
Damari.
We just haven't seen the other guys as much.
Damari's had a couple of costly fumbles in his Auburn career, but it's also true for Cobb and for Robinson that it's like there's too many options in that backfield to go with someone who, you know, if liability. And I would say pass protection is another one where if you're a liability, I mean, we've seen running backs in the past where you hear buzz about what they can do with the ball in their hands, and yes, you want to see them get playing time for that reason, but like you said, they're looking for complete players. They're looking for guys who aren't a liability in any aspect. If you're a liability in pass protection as a running back in a deep room with talented guys, it's going to be tough to assert and get a lot of playing time.
And I tell you, I remember when Cadillac was a freshman, a true freshman, and you had other guys, and he was a smaller guy. He weighed 185 pounds probably when he was here as a true freshman. You knew he could run, but watching him in pass pro, and you're like, that dude just wears people out. You're like, he gonna play as a freshman because of that, because they can put him in the game in that situation and not be worried about it. Can you do those things as a young running back? That is a separator.
I heard stories about the year because Kenny Irons had to sit out a year, right? Kenny Irons had to sit the 04 season out, right? Because he transferred from South Carolina. So he's on the scout team in 04. And I remember hearing stories about, like, folks thought, and it was also like, yes, look at what he can do with the ball. But he's impressing position coaches all over the team with his willingness to hit like a linebacker when it comes time to protect the quarterback. And that's something that, yeah, I would think that's somebody, you know, that's an aspect of the game where, yeah, maybe one of these running backs can do themselves a real favor as far as trying to establish some playing time, as we'll see. And it's also something, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, it's not something Alston or Cobb had to do a ton of in their Auburn career so far, right?
Like, no, I don't know. Because they haven't played as much. Yeah. I mean, that, usually when they're on the field, it's because they were kind of getting the football. You know, it's a certain situation, a special play, whatever it is. Now you're going to be on the field in the general flow of the offense, and for the most part, that's been Jarquez Hunter.
Great stuff. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover hanging out with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Bill Cameron from the home studio. We will have more with Bill. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. It's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Dan Peck in the studio. We'll be back with more. This is The Drive.
This is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com. You want to stream the show from anywhere in the world. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover hanging out with us, and we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, and we've got Brett hanging on the phone. Let's get to the phones. Brett, what's up?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. I missed the first part of the show. Just got on. Jason, tell me who's going to start alongside of Reddick, and who in your opinion is going to be Reddick's backup?
All right, I would probably lean Robert Woodyard right now because of his experience
as the starter next to Riddick.
As the starter next to Riddick, but I think him and Caleb Wheatland both will play a good bit.
I might have guessed Wheatland, but
I'd probably lean Woodyard right now.
I think Robert right now.
Yeah. And then behind Riddick, I would say Xavier Atkins, Bryce Diaz would be the two guys.
Yep.
Xavier Atkins has had a really good camp. Had played some last year, a year older. So I would lean probably him but Bryce Diaz has been really good, and I think you'll see both of those guys at least in the mix.
Those two and Melendez were the guys that we heard the most about sort of when Riddick was wearing the non-contact jersey. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you heard, Brett, but one of the first questions to DJ Durkin today when the assistants on defense talked to the media. I wanted to know an update on Riddick's status, and he says he's full go, and he's not wearing the non-contact jersey anymore, which is excellent news for Auburn football.
Yeah, I read that online. So if Wheatland, Woodyard, and Melendez, are they all just middle linebackers, or can one of them play?
Yeah, I mean, I think they like to train guys in both spots.
It's cleaner to do it 3-3, too, right, if you have six guys.
I think right now I would just go, hey, here's the – but I do think, yes, if you said, hey, man, we're in a pinch or we're playing Georgia, they're running the football, let's try to get – because quite honestly, I think you could add a third linebacker, and I think you could play DeMarcus Riddick still outside and put Wheatland and – Woodyard in the middle if you wanted to do that and still put Riddick on the field at times.
Riddick's,
I think he'd give you some options.
Riddick's almost his own hybrid position, right? And it's like the two guys playing behind Riddick, they could slide over and play the other linebacker spot if they needed to.
Normally you try to cross train both guys. The question now is who would be wearing, you know, the green dot to be calling the defense, and that's something probably and honestly they may not have a good idea about how they're going to work some of those things until they get closer to the game time.
Okay. Last thing, Jason,
really, linebacker is the only thing in my mind that I would see a concern of. Do you think the defensive line now looks pretty solid?
So I mentioned this. I don't know if it was yesterday or last night, but I talked to an NFL scout coming out of practice yesterday. This is a guy that I've known for a while. He played at Florida State and was a really good player. And so I said, it looks a little different, doesn't it? And he goes, yeah, it's a lot different. He said the first thing out of his mouth was that defensive line is legit, which I thought they'd been the biggest surprise to me in camp. But to hear somebody who had not seen them go, and those guys were pretty good today, it reinforced what I thought. Now, again, you got to get the game and see what it looks like and all that stuff. But so far, the middle of the defensive line and the linebacker group have been the big surprises for me, because those were my two biggest question marks coming into this season anywhere on this team.
And they seemingly were relying on youth so much on the defensive line,
and,
right?
But to me, like for instance, we heard from Vontrell King-Williams today, and he goes, and Jay Hardy's been pretty good. Need to see the consistency, but he's been pretty good. And I asked him kind of where we got done. I asked him about Dallas Walker, because for me, Dallas Walker has been the single biggest surprise of this camp, because he can move much better than I anticipated him moving after seeing him in the spring.
Yeah, he's 362 pounds.
But
he
can move. And I think the key is, and getting back to the original
usually
question,
usually something
about
that size
defense,
moves, it only moves with tires.
One way.
Yeah, with tires on it.
But thinking about the original question is that when you think about Bobby Jameson Travis and Malik Blockton, and then you go, okay, you got Jay Hardy, and you have Dallas Walker, and you have James Ash, and you have Zykevis Walker, and you have Malik Autry, and you have Jordan Crawford. We're talking about two spots. I just named eight guys. And if you can go, man, give me five snaps and then get a fresh guy in, to me it makes me feel like you may not be as top heavy. You don't have Derrick Brown. But I think about middle of the second quarter, middle of the fourth quarter, you've got a chance to not have a drop off. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be able to rotate guys that all, I think, are all good enough to go win with.
All right. Great news, Jason. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Brett. Yeah, I asked among the things I got to ask Vontrell about, we'd had some people wondering, could there be a role for any of his defensive linemen on offense this year, you know, in certain circumstances. He had not... It was almost as though it was the first time he'd really thought about it, right? Like, he's got a lot of.
Well, that sort of gives you an answer there, doesn't
it, Dan? Yeah, it does. And he seemed to like it the more he thought about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he said, you know, and it's
defensive linemen are going to love that thought.
And he mentioned that, you know, it wasn't his call, and if the boss wants to do it, he's going to be on board with it because
we saw Jordan Crawford. Jordan Crawford was used as an extra tight end blocking back last year's Summit Parker.
I believe that inspired the question from a caller a couple of weeks ago about this about this very thing that I eventually brought to Vontrell.
I think the only time I could see it was if it's straight up goal line.
Yeah.
And you're going, especially if you have an injury to a Brandon Frazier or a Tate Johnson, and you're going, but even then for me, is that better, or is Tyler Johnson better, or
too tall?
Too tall. Yeah. See, too tall is the meat one for me. If you're talking about he's your sixth guy, then you put 88 on him, or 89 or whatever number it is, and you put him down and say, okay, that's your extra tight end, and he's also 6'7".
I like some of those youngsters at guard too.
Yeah,
Ty Buster.
There are
or,
options. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and it
Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, more options as extra offensive linemen. See, that's to me, I go back to Ben Grubbs. That's really how Ben Grubbs got his foot in the door, was by playing a blocking tight end in short yardage and then transferring that to be a guard the next year.
Before we take a break, you got to talk on Monday. You were there with Ken Austin for a long time. And I compared him to Phil Jackson.
It is.
He's got some real Zen master.
It is. You feel like, am I learning about the triangle offense or quarterbacking? But yes,
or the or the afterlife.
It like is, it's very. I don't know. It's you can get in the weeds in a hurry, because it's so instructional when you think about what they're looking for at the quarterback position and talking about we're grading every snap they take. And I think that, to me, where you start to do that as a quarterback, it to me it helps take some of that off of you, because you're like, hey, here's what we want.
Coach Nick said that, and we ran this clip yesterday, that it was like his skill, Ken Austin's skill as a teacher isn't that he knows so much about football, although that's obviously a huge part of it, you know, being around the game as long as he's been and being as knowledgeable as he is. His ability to relate difficult, complex things and teach them in a way that, you know, it's something digestible, is it's not something everyone can do. Like, everyone can have these, you know, a lot of brilliant professors and scientists can have these big ideas. Teaching them to people in a way that folks can understand and comprehend and pick up on it, and then out then go out and execute it on the football field is not necessarily the same thing. You know, Ken Austin, you know, has some, and I thought the stuff he had to say about Jackson was
it was good. When we get really back good. After the break, yeah. I want to talk about something said about Deuce too, because I did a little research and it was pretty interesting.
All right,
because I wanted Jason to talk about some of the comments as well, so that'll be good.
We will do that when we come back. That's Bill Cameron radioing in from home. We've got Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover in the studio. Stick around, more of The Drive when we come back.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hey, this is DeMar.
SPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill beaming in from home, and we've got Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover hanging out with us. Jason, you wanted to mention before you left some notes about your conversation with Ken Austin.
Yeah, we asked him about it, all the quarterbacks, and he had good things to say about all three. When he got to Deuce Knight, Ken Austin had a long tenure in the CFL, played in the CFL, coached in the CFL, and he brought up the name Damon Allen, and I've watched Damon Allen play in the CFL, but I went back and looked, and he said, look, the thing that always reminds him is that he's so calm. You never know what's going on based on his demeanor. And Deuce, and he's like, it reminds me of Damon Allen. I went back and looked at Damon Allen. He's still the fourth all-time leading passer in professional football, not CFL, professional football history. He's also the third leading rusher in CFL history, played 23 seasons, won 4 Grey Cups. That's pretty high praise for people that maybe don't understand what he did in the CFL to compare him to that guy. So I was like, okay, that's pretty strong. But yeah, talking about Jackson Arnold, we talked to a couple of people, and I think one of the things that from today defensively talking about that reflects on the offense too, we've heard them talking about quarterbacks haven't put the ball in harm's way a lot. And the defense is like, hey, we're trying to create more turnovers. They're just not giving us many opportunities. That's a very good sign for me, because this defense, I think, has a chance to be pretty good. If you don't turn it over, I think this offense is going to make some plays. If you can do those two things and put them together, then I think you've got a chance to go be successful.
I was struck by – go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to say, we were talking a little yesterday about, you know, some of the comments that Derek made, that there's some people that are absolutely losing their minds. And I think there's a misunderstanding as to what's actually going on when it comes to the play calling. Because I went back and re-listened, and we were talking about it yesterday, but I'd love your thoughts. To me, it sounds like, yeah, Derek Nix is the guy that's got everything ready for the first down calls.
Correct.
Kent's got everything ready for the third down calls.
Correct.
But people, I think, are confused, thinking Derek's making the call for the first down and Kent's making the call for the third down.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think Hugh Freeze is involved, and they all talk. But, yes, the preparation they're going through and going, look, I want you to focus on early down calls. We'll get together. What do we all like? Yes, Kent, you focus on third downs. Hugh Freeze has always done red zone. But, you can look, Hugh Freeze is calling plays. I mean, he's the play caller. He's involved in this. But that allows him to do the things he needs to do as well as a coach. But Derek Nix is getting with Jackson Arnold, and he's getting with Jake Thornton, and going, okay, what do we like in first down in this situation, this yardage? And then you give Hugh Freeze, hey, here's the things we're comfortable with. Yes, it's, but Hugh Freeze is the play caller. Yes,
right. I thought Ken Austin's comments about Jackson's ability to improvise were really interesting too. Like, that's something it's not a bonus for a quarterback to be able to make plays when things break down in the SEC. You need to be able to do that. It's a prerequisite. And he feels, yes, really confident in Jackson's ability as an improviser and having faced some of that fire before. We'll talk about some of that in hour number two. We got some of that audio from those coaches as well. Love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Jason, tell everybody where they can find your outstanding work.
Yep, check us out, auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. Right now, if you haven't subscribed, 50% off still going through camp, so come check us out. But videos, did a podcast this afternoon that was kind of a live podcast that's up right now as well, so come check us out.
Yeah, and more of your phone calls and some audio from defensive coaches when we come back. Thanks again, Jason. Great stuff. We will be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Steady rainfall outside Auburn Network HQ as we begin hour number two. Big thanks to our pal Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover for joining us in the first hour of the show. You can find Jason all over the internet doing great work covering this team extensively as Auburn gets ready for a showdown with Baylor to start the 2025 season. And that one you can catch on Wings 94.3 2 weeks from Friday. It's been an exciting time this week as we've had media opportunities with Auburn's offensive and defensive assistants. Bill, it wasn't the same without you when we're chatting with the position coaches.
Yeah,
I've got to be more nimble and go try to get more of the guys rather than us splitting the work 50-50.
Yeah, well, the thing to do is you needed an extra phone or a recorder or something. The only thing I could do, you know, when it was if you weren't there, would be go over and listen to what somebody else is saying while I'm recording somebody else. But yeah, it's a great opportunity, and again, kudos, thanks to the folks in there in media relations and the coaching staff and Hugh Freeze for, you know, allowing us to be able to spend some time with them. It's because you get some really good information from the coaches. They may not tell you the depth chart, how it stands or anything like that, like some people are trying to ask, but I think you get a really good insight into, you know, the makeup of this team, the coaching staff, and where they feel like they are right now getting ready for the season.
Yeah, and so today I've got some I keep mentioning it, Bill, but the stuff with Vontrell is just outstanding, and it helps that he sounds like
sounds like a defensive line coach.
He's got the kind of voice that you could just drizzle on your pancakes. You know what I mean?
This guy's we could use him for some voiceovers. Oh, absolutely.
This guy's got a smooth cadence about him, and hearing him talk about a really exciting group of players that he's watched evolve over these last. I've also got some time with The Rock. Always great to chat with.
We haven't really talked about defensive. We haven't talked about the defensive ends. You know, when you did mention a little bit about looking, you know, Auburn's always looking for a pass rush, but we haven't really talked much about them or heard from Rock, so that's great.
No, and we got the Rock talking about the you know how Keron Crawford approached the offseason. You know, he answered a couple of my questions about Chris Murray, and then he even went into detail about Phillips and Waller, right? Who are guys that I think are you know who have been name checked by a couple of I think Von Trell mentioned Joe Phillips in one of his answers. Like we've heard those guys mentioned, but it's you know it's a big off season for those guys as they want to contribute more in year two than they did in year one. So yeah, if we get some time, love to play the Von Trell stuff. Love to play the stuff from the Rock and Chad Lunsford, right? Bill, you've been very interested in how Auburn improves its special teams this season.
Yeah, and Chad Lunsford has a very strong history with special teams coming back to Auburn. I mean, and he's a guy that was named the interim head coach at was it FAU, wasn't it?
I think that's right.
Yeah, and Rock, as a matter of fact, was on his staff. But he's a guy that is very very highly thought of, very respected as a special teams coach and just as a coach overall. And it's interesting. I was reading some of the comments that he had about some different guys, and that is something else. You mentioned it a little while ago, I believe, when we had Jason on. I mean, the ability now with that second solid recruiting year that Auburn had last year, some of these guys that are coming in, it's going to be a great opportunity for them. You mentioned Juice Diaz, guys like that, Jared Smith, whatever. I mean, these big, fast athletes who are still learning their positions, it's a little easier to teach them, you know, special teams responsibilities. And that also allows you to rest some of your regulars a little bit and not have to play them as much as Auburn has the last couple of years on those special teams.
Right. They're really excited. I believe Von Trell mentioned, special teams and all over the defense, the depth is one of their weapons, right? Like the thought that they have, they feel good about their ability to go to the second unit, even the third unit, some of these spots, and mm-hmm. still get contributions that they're excited about. So yeah, I think folks would be interested to hear some of our exclusive time with the defensive coaches. And again, that the Ken Austin stuff, I referenced it with Jason at the end of hour number one. Ken Austin, really really going into detail about about why Jackson Arnold in a portal that was full of quarterbacks who had played different types of offenses and had different experience levels and had different levels of success in college football. The reason Jackson made sense as the primary target for them, and a lot of it, it's not just Jackson having some innate stuff that, if you don't, the way he explained it and the way Mike Leach used to explain it, right? Like stuff where if you're not doing it by a certain point, like it's just never going to happen, right? You know, when it comes to accuracy and mm-hmm. timing and anticipation, like some of those things, it just never happens for some quarterbacks, and some quarterbacks are fantastic at it really early on, the special ones. I think that coupled with Jackson's physical abilities to extend plays with his feet, create plays with his feet, and just generally, like I think that it was probably a weakness of the Auburn offense the last couple of years when things broke down and it came time to improvise, and I know it's probably not. I mean, with the best quarterbacks, you can turn that into a strength, I suppose. But it's a tough thing to do. But you want to be able to keep your head above water, right, when things break down. You're not going to be able to have – it's not going to go according to script perfectly every time. And hearing, Jackson's ability to elude defenders, Jackson's ability to work down his progressions and find guys in less than ideal situations, that's something that you need it more than ever. And to find a quarterback and bring a quarterback in who is adept at that and who's able to establish that kind of connection with his teammates, I think that's something you get the sense from Ken Austin, like reasons to believe this offense will be better, reasons to believe Jackson Arnold will be better, you know, his strength as an improviser seems to be one of them.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think it's interesting as you start seeing notes from around the country on different practices and camps. You know, Alabama naming Ty Simpson starting quarterback. Word out of Tallahassee is that Thomas Castellanos, who is, I mean, he's already made his statements, and they're very well
he
known.
He has already walked up to the plate and pointed to the center field with his bat.
Yes,
right?
He has. But the word from a couple of reporters in Tallahassee is he has been wildly inconsistent and may not have a stranglehold on the starting job at Florida State.
Is Brock Glenn still there?
I believe he is.
I would think
Brock Glenn.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you what. I watched a little Castellanos last year at Boston College. I wouldn't be all that shocked if Brock Glenn gave him a race
Battle. I mean, it just feels like Castellanos is really good, or man, it can go strong the other way. So that's interesting. There were some Auburn fans going, man, why didn't we get that guy and go after Jackson Arnold, whose stats weren't great? I love the quote that Justin Hokanson tweeted out from DJ Durkin today about facing Jackson Arnold in fall camp. His quote was, I love that he's on our team. I really do. He can make all the throws. He makes good decisions, gets the ball out fast, and can beat you both ways. He can beat you with his arm or with his legs.
Yeah, to hear these coaches talk about the other side of the ball.
I love that.
Yeah, whether it was Thornton talking about the defensive line and how they've helped his guys get better.
Did Vontrell get asked about the offensive line?
Vontrell talked a little bit about the offensive line, but I think it was, I mean, he was so compelling and just sort of laser focused on his own guys. And I would imagine I just in trying to bounce around, I missed a big chunk of Marcus on Monday, and then only caught like a tail end of Crime Dog today. Mm. But I would imagine that's a spot where I mean, if you want to talk about like the spot on the field where iron is sharpening iron right now for Auburn,
no kidding.
It's receiver versus defensive back, because those battles, when you've got a Kane Lee and a Jay Crawford, when you've got Cam and Eric, and then everyone else in both of those position groups, that's going to help everybody get better.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Rayon Strader, Rayshon Pleasant. I mean, just trying to figure, and I thought it was interesting. I was reading some of the comments from T.J. Rushing, as you know, it felt like last year we were talking more about three corners and two safeties. T.J. Rushing, reading his quotes, it appears that Auburn's really looking at two corners and three safeties, but one of those safeties is more a cover safety. So they're looking at somebody they want to be a little more physical but can cover as that third guy, as opposed to just being a cover guy.
Yeah, so really interesting stuff. And, again, big thanks to Auburn Media Relations for
absolutely
making the coaches available. All 11 Auburn position coaches speaking to the media in the last 3 days, and some, you know, ample opportunity to talk to all of those guys. And it was really exciting stuff. And I mean, yeah, started out with a bang today with DJ Durkin saying DeMarcus Riddick is full go.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look, for folks who got to see some DeMarcus Riddick in his freshman year, and to see, you know, the way he's been fighting to get back this offseason, that's huge news. And that's, you know, that's a defense that we talked about it with Andy yesterday. Like it's, He has a huge sort of singular role on this Auburn defense, and it's tough to imagine. It's tough to replace him with just the next guy up. Like he's got some specialness to him that, yeah, it's good to have him 100% and ready to go.
Yeah, so that's great. So some great audio. We'll play it when we get a chance. Again, we'd love to hear from you, though, if you've got any questions, comments on what we've been talking about, or anything going on in the world of sports. Again, the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available wherever you get your favorite podcast. You know, I wouldn't mind playing the Jake Thornton stuff from Monday too, Bill, because Jake Thornton was tremendous in talking about. He went through it. I mean, obviously Jeremiah and Dylan are battle tested guards. He mentioned that he's just in remarkable confidence in Connor Liu, and I'd love to play some of the Connor Liu stuff from Jake Thornton, and then talking about both of the tackles and where they, you know, where he's pleased in what he's seen from both those guys, and where they needed to step it up from when the preseason started and where they are now. So we can play a little bit of that too when we come back. But again, love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We'll have audio for you when we return. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron beaming in from home and feeling all right as far as we know.
I'm getting better. I was able to find one thing out today. It was change the dressing day. I had not paid close attention when the physical therapist did that on Monday. So I thought it was pretty interesting. I've got a baseball related number of staples in my leg.
Okay. Oh, you got the same number as a baseball. You got the same number of stitches, or?
Well, no, I know it's not. It's not 100 and whatever staples, but it is a number that makes me think of baseball. So what number do you think that would
be?
I mean, there's some numbers. It's more than nine. Nine.
I was gonna say, what is it? Is it 27?
It is 27.
27 outs. Okay.
I got 27 staples in the knee. So.
Okay. Well, but things progressing according to plan.
Yeah, it feels so like far. It. The knee feels better. I mean, it's just now I think it's more the tissue around it that is, you know, because of nerves and muscles and things that have to get moved around. Those babies are sore, I'm telling you.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We got some audio from earlier, from earlier today and from Monday of different Auburn position coaches getting a chance to talk with those guys. I mentioned, Bill, I got several questions up to Jake Thornton, Auburn offensive line coach, and if you stretch for like a second, I can try to cue that up. All right?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Could possibly be on the radar of NFL teams, but everybody's waiting to see it on the field. But it does look. I mean, Jason said it a couple of times. I mean, no question that right now, looking at the guys getting off the bus, they look great, but they need to be more than that. And this is an experienced offensive line. They've got two new pieces this year, but three guys who have been at Auburn for a while, and then the tackles coming in are new. So Jake Thornton, I would have loved to have been there because I'm sure he's excited to have the group that he has.
Let me see if this works. Here goes nothing with my chat with among other reporters chatting with Jake Thornton, Auburn offensive line coach, earlier this week. Can you hear that, Bill?
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's Auburn offensive line coach Jake Thornton joining us Monday when the media had some availability with Auburn's offensive assistants. And I thought some really interesting stuff from Auburn's offensive line coach. What'd you think of Coach Thornton there, Bill?
Yeah, he didn't sound too down. There were folks, because apparently there weren't a lot of touchdowns scored in the scrimmage on Friday, that, oh, is this offensive line really, really anywhere near their hype? Sounded like he's still pretty excited. I mean, for him to say, as talented as we are, we need to dominate. I love that as a goal, as opposed to being, how many times have we heard in the past, we need to be able to go out there and compete every play? I love hearing an offensive line coach saying, we need to go out and dominate every play.
Yeah, you're at a point now where good enough isn't the expectation.
Right.
Right, like where the thought is, like this group can be, if things line up, this group could be considerably better than good enough. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what ends up happening. But no, I thought some great stuff. And how about he wouldn't trade Connor Lue for any center in the country, right? The best center in he thinks he's
that
got.
That doesn't shock me. I mean, Connor, I thought last year had a little bit of a sophomore slump. But I mean, there was more on him a year ago. I mean, a guy that came in and was as you know, was effective as he was as a true freshman, and he is he's a very bright, dedicated, you know, young guy who I don't doubt. Yeah, he probably took some of last year on himself and felt like I've got to go out and be even better.
And I would still think, like, look up the top offensive linemen from Connor's class coming out of high school. How much of those guys played? Like, how many starts are we talking about from those guys in their first 2 years of college football? Connor Lue, I think he's, 19 starts, something like that, 19 or 20 starts in his college football career. It's crazy. Like, for a guy going into a junior season when that's usually – I mean, a lot of offensive line careers start where Connor Lue is right now after 2 years on campus. And instead, he's in position to be – one of the more experienced guys in the league as a junior, and then probably the most experienced guy in the league, and I would imagine by a considerable margin if he starts all season and returns for his senior year. But he's in position now to, like, he's not giving up a huge, there's not a huge gap in age and experience between Connor and the guys he's blocking. That was the case his first 2 years on campus. Connor would be lined up, especially you think about in 2023, when Connor Lue's out there as a true freshman, and you've got the sixth year and seventh year COVID guys on the defensive line, right? Like, Connor Lue was blocking.
Yeah,
Connor Lue was blocking 25-year-olds as a true freshman. Now it'll be, I think that gap has narrowed, and he's gotten bigger and stronger, and has improved. The considerable mental aspect of playing center too, all the pre-snap stuff and everything he's got to do, and you almost never hear about. It feels like from the very beginning, the delivery, like snapping the ball, that part hasn't really been a problem for Connor. Like it's you know his connection with when it was Peyton, now it's Jackson. Like that hasn't been what needs improvement. It's been, you know, I mean, as a true freshman, his ability to hold the line and you know, create push and grow, and then you know, building on what he did as a true freshman. And yeah, it sounds like Jake Thornton really excited about what he's got at center in Connor Lue and what he's got behind Connor Lue potentially, whether that's Dylan Wade or Dylan Senda,
or Cale Ellis,
Ellis, who he said was light years ahead of what they thought they were getting. Going in, so yeah, some really interesting stuff from Jake Thornton. And if you want, we can play some Von Trell or some Rock.
Yeah, I think Von Trell would be great on the other side.
Yeah,
I was going to say another thing that, you know, man, you talk about an experienced group. I mentioned it a little while ago. Auburn's starting line has 125 college starts.
That's amazing. They're,
and that's not including Tutal, who has 25 of his own. So Auburn's got 150 starts in their top six offensive linemen.
And I wonder if even Tyler Johnson worked a start or two in.
Yeah, he did
last year. I mean, you have more than one guy on the bench who has been a
Tate obviously has.
Tate Johnson has started.
I mean,
before.
He's a tight end now,
but he's still, no, you're right. That's that's important to consider, is that there are multiple options there on the Auburn offensive line, and yeah, really veteran group, including Dylan and Jeremiah at guard, who have been around. I mean, couple of these guys on the team, right? You know, whether it's Jeremiah, Brandon Frazier, Zykevious Walker, right? Like you've got a couple of super seniors that have been at Auburn the entire time, and what it would mean for those guys to go out with a bang, with a really, really big season, and yeah, looking forward to seeing how it goes for them. We'll run some Von Trell when we come back. Auburn defensive line coach with a smooth deep voice that you'll really get a kick out of, and he's clearly really excited about his group as well. So you're not going to want to miss that. Bill Cameron beaming in from the home studio. Dan Peck here at ESPN 106.7 HQ, Auburn Network Studios. rain's lightening up a little bit. It's sun's starting to peek through a little bit. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
Calm.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron beaming in from home. Excited about another viewing window tomorrow, and it feels like a pretty big one, Bill, with the second scrimmage scheduled for Friday.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, and I agree with what you and Jason were saying earlier. I mean, this is a very important scrimmage. This is the one that's going to determine, you know, who is in that two deep and expected to make the travel squad that's heading out to Waco. I mean, there's still time for it to change. But this will be the last big shot, I think, that a lot of the players have that are competing for that second or third spot on the depth chart.
So we had the opportunity to talk with Auburn's defensive coaches earlier today, and I've been hyping it up all show.
Screen printing and design experts. Business, church, school, or organization, Master Graphics has you covered.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the show. Fun one today, Bill. Had Jason in for most of hour number one, and if you missed any of that, you can check out the podcast available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just search for The Drive with Bill Cameron on your favorite podcasting platform, or go to espnau.com and use the podcast center. A lot of cool observations from Jason about the roster and the last couple of weeks of preseason practice for the Auburn Tigers. Speaking of observations, we'll have a visit from our good buddy Justin Ferguson tomorrow on a Thursday edition of The Drive.
Yeah, you get to observe practice, and then we'll have the observer crew in the studio tomorrow.
That's right. Should be a lot of fun and a big practice tomorrow as they get ready for scrimmage number two, exactly 2 weeks before Auburn takes on Baylor in Waco.
Man,
to kick
feel
off.
Like- It's almost getting to the point. You're hearing enough stuff. We've seen enough stuff. It's like, all right, let's get this scrimmage over. Let's go ahead and play next week.
No, I mean yeah, you know? we are reaching a fever pitch, I think, yeah, as far as the start of the 25 season, and we will have some college football games next weekend. Auburn and Baylor
right.
aren't playing, but you do have week zero action, including the Big 12 game in
overseas.
Ireland.
Yeah.
So it's some really cool stuff on the schedule. And then, I mean, Jason was pointing out you got high school football action this week, you know, in different parts of the country, including in Georgia.
I think Georgia.
You've got Alabama high school football starting next week, including Auburn High. So yeah, we are rapidly approaching kicking things into gear. And yeah, we're going to have it all for you here on ESPN 106.7. Seven straight hours every weekday with the Max Roundtable and on the line. And then, of course, our show right here from 4 to 6, The Drive. You're not going to want to miss it. So, and again, it was great to get to talk with the assistant coaches these last couple of days, too. And thankful that we can provide some of that audio to our listeners. And we hope you guys enjoyed that. Obviously, some coaches who seem very excited about the upcoming year, Bill.
Yeah, no question about it. And great to have Jason Caldwell in the studio today. Fun show. And if you missed any of it, make sure you check out the podcast.
That's right. Podcast of The Drive, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And we'll get this episode up as soon as we jump off the air. But for everybody who joined the show today, And everyone who listened, for Dan Peck or for Bill Cameron, who's back in the home studio, Dan Peck here in Auburn Network HQ signing off. We will talk to you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.